glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you, hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, March 30th, 2023. I'm Donna Leland. March has been designated Women's History Month. I want to take a look at the lives of two women who answered the call for God's calling on their lives to reach the lost, regardless of their marital status. For our discussion today, I've welcomed back to the microphone my favorite missionary, Rebecca Leland.
It's so good to be here with you.
I thought today, Rebecca, that we would look into the life of the missionary Mary Slessor. And this is a really sweet story. Child Evangelism Fellowship has actually put a picture book together. And so I know you have given this over and over and over at five-day clubs and such. And so I thought you would be a good person to share that story of Mary Slessor.
I am so honored. I love Mary Slessor. Whenever you asked about, like, women missionaries, she's the first that always comes to mind. Yeah, I love her story. So she started out in Scotland. Very unfortunate beginning. Very poor family. Her dad actually came home drunk very often. There was even this account of one time he came home so drunk that he threw her outside in the cold, and she had to sit out there all night. When she was 14 years old, she had to stop going to school, and she had to work full time because she was the oldest of her family, and her family had had to sell all their furniture. So very unfortunate beginning, very troubled childhood. So because of that, she would run around with her friends in Scotland, get into some trouble. But there was an older woman who actually invited her and her friends to come inside one cold day to drink some cocoa and to hear about the gospel. And that's where Mary Slessor heard about God. And ever since that moment, she decided to follow him. Her favorite day of the week was Sunday because it was her day off. And she got to go to church. And it was there at church the missionary from Africa came to speak to them. And it was the first time she'd ever heard about the country Calabar. She heard there were people who had never heard of Jesus. And there were people going there called missionaries. And it was then that she decided that she believed that it was God's calling on her life to go to Calabar. But whenever she shared this with the people around her, they said she couldn't. Because she had to take care of her family. How could she leave her family and go to a country across the world? So it wasn't actually until she was 26 years old that Mary Slessor felt like she could finally follow God's dream for her. And I think that is a testament to God's timing. Even the Apostle Paul didn't start his missions work for, like, I think 14 to 17 years after his conversion. So I think that's something to say about God's timing and how it's often not instant. She had to wait quite a few years until she was 26 to actually leave to Calabar. So she actually got off the boat at a place called Duketown, and she noticed that there were already a lot of missionaries there. So she was able to kind of train underneath them. She was able to start learning the language, going to women's homes, learning what their needs were, other than the gospel, which she knew was very evident. But she decided that she wanted to actually travel more into Africa. She didn't want to stay where the other missionaries were. She knew that there were other tribes that didn't know Christ. But the reason why other missionaries weren't going there is because it was extremely dangerous. The other tribes would fight consistently and constantly. And the main reason was because of spells. If someone died in someone's tribe, they would assume that another tribe had, quote, cast a spell on that person. So then they would go to war with that other tribe. So Mary was going to go into an actual war zone, but she believed that that's where God had sent her. So she decided it was her task. So she went and she left Duketown. And she went to a place called Old Town. And in Old Town, she heard a lot more about infant murder. And that was, they believed that twins were cursed. So if there were actually a set of twins born in Calabar, the twins would not only be murdered, but their mother would be cast out of the village because they thought she was cursed. And that broke Mary's heart because she believed in what God believes, which is all life is created equal and divine and beautiful in God's eyes. And so that broke her heart. So she actually went around and she made sure people knew that no, infants are precious. And actually it came one day where her doorstep had a child on it, and it was a little boy, and she brought him in, and Not long after that, she actually saved a set of twins. And she went on from there to start, the village started calling her Ma, because she not only saved these children, and she was known for that in the village, but she brought medication and medicine to the village. So she went on to going to surrounding villages, bringing medication and actually stopping wars. But what I think is really cool is she was a mother and a missionary. So she would bring her children with her as she had more children come into her care. So there was one time when she was going to a neighboring village because there was a chief who was going to start a war. And she was like, nope, I have to help him stop that. And so she brought her children with, and a tornado actually hit them. And she found a nearby hut, gathered her children inside of it while a tornado surrounded her. And all she knew, or all she thought to do, was she said, hey guys, let's start singing. So they started singing praises to God, her and her little children in this house. The roof ended up flying off, but the tornado passed. Her children were safe. And I think that's just a cool testament of doing what God has called you to do in that moment. I can't imagine how scary that would be, just to have your children with you. And even in my first initial thought was, oh wow, like, could that be seen as neglect of her children? But she was where God wanted her to be at the time that he wanted her to be there, with who he wanted her to be there with. Those children were alive because she took them in and she was doing God's work. So I think that's like such a cool visual, and how scary that would be, but how cool it was that she was doing God's will and he protected them 100%. So they went on to go to this chief, and she was able to sit down with him and talk through the issues he was having with the surrounding tribe. And that was actually the majority of her ministry in Calabar, was she would sit down in a large circle with either one chief or actually both of the chiefs that were fighting, and she would just talk it out. But one thing that she would do is she would knit. And though from outside appearances, she seemed calm, cool, and collected, at times she was absolutely shaking, because she knew that there were lives at stake, that people were about to die if she didn't get this right, if she couldn't talk them through this. So instead of shaking hands, she would knit to show her composure. And God used that knitting. And I think it's so cool that as a woman, she was able to do that. I think back then, if a guy started knitting, that would be very questionable. But because God was using her ability to knit, and just like that didn't look weird, to calm her and to make her seem posed. Again, God using who we are and our unique being women as a way to calm her. I think that's so cool how God uses that. So she would knit, she would talk to surrounding tribes, and actually the British came over because they noticed that the tribes had stopped fighting so much. And there was a British official who came to Mary, and they were like, hey, just so you know, we want to send an official over here to kind of keep tabs on things and make sure things go well. And Mary instantly said, that is not a good idea. It takes a lot of time and energy and effort and getting to know the tribes. So that's going to go very poorly. And she started freaking out that all the work that God had had her doing was going to go down the drain when this British official came. And the British actually said, oh, no, Mary, we want you to be that British official. Oh, and wow, we're going to pay you. So God provided finances for Mary to continue doing what she was doing by the British government. And I think that is, again, God's timing and God's ways. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills, and he will be able to provide through whatever means necessary to get you to do what you're doing. And so that's, again, I think, an amazing testimony in her story to how God was providing for Mary to not only take care of her children as a mother, but to bring the gospel and to bring medicine and to bring care and to bring peace to a place that had not felt that and had not known that. She was doing this all through God. And throughout this entire time, Mary got sick consistently. And that was actually a warning that she had back in Scotland. They said, don't go, Mary. All these missionaries get sick and die. And actually, a lot of missionaries, she went to Scotland one time because she was sick, came back, and she found a couple of her missionary friends had passed away. So Mary actually herself had malaria. She got very sick multiple times, but it never stopped her. And I think a lot of times we ask God, hey, this is not a good thing happening in my life. Can you take this away? And I'm sure Mary herself, she's like, hey, God, I am working for you. I am raising these children for you. I am telling the gospel for you. Why am I sick all the time? And I think it's a lot of times that we are not our situation, but God can work through our situation. And Mary never let her sickness stop her from preaching and teaching. And even when she was forced to leave Calabar multiple times and travel back to Scotland to get better, when she was in Scotland, she would go to churches and tell them about the missions work. And she was never idle in the times that she couldn't do what she wanted to do. There's actually one time where one of the tribes had built her a home, finally, where she could really take care of her children and really take care of the community, but there weren't any windows and doors. So she had written back to Scotland saying, hey guys, if you could be praying for this, I really need windows and doors. Well, a little while later, she was outside, must have been at least a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, and she heard something she hadn't heard in years. And it was a song sung in Scottish. And down the road, a man was walking who had heard that she needed windows and doors, and he actually brought himself to Calabar to help her build windows and doors. Oh. God's provision in her life through the people that she contacted with. And I think that is a beautiful representation of sharing the need. Mm-hmm. And people cannot act on a need they do not know exists. So as believers, sharing the needs that we have, being, hey, can you pray for me? Hey, can you be lifting this up in prayer? And sometimes the people themselves will be God's answer to that prayer that you have. And I think missionaries know that more than anyone, because it's day in, day out, asking God for what we need. But I think just as believers, we need to be surrounding ourselves with godly people and being able to trust them with our prayer requests, being able to and to intercede for us more often than I think that we do, just in our day-to-day life. So I think that's just a really cool testament in her life that I love that part of the story. One of my favorite quotes by Mary Slessor is, "My life is one long daily, hourly record of answered prayer for physical health, for mental overstrain, for guidance given marvelously, for errors and dangers averted, for enmity to the gospel subdued, for food provided at the exact hour needed, for everything that goes to make up life and my poor service. I can testify with a full and often wonderstruck awe that I believe God answers prayer." And I think that quote can only come out of a place of a person who has trusted God fully in areas of life that she could not control. The only thing that Mary could control was her willingness to follow God's leading in her life. And I think it's incredible that God allowed her to be a mother without being married. God allowed her to be a missionary in a time where that was extremely dangerous. But God gave her that call and she answered it. And I truly believe in today's day and age, God wants to give us calls and he wants to give us a purpose, which is to know him and to make him known. And I just pray that more of us would answer that call. And it's not going to look like, for some, it may look like getting on an actual plane and going to another country. But I think more often for us, it's getting in the car, going to work, and being a testimony in the place that God has put you and answering that call as a believer in our own lives and being content with it. And I think a really big takeaway from Mary Slessor's life is she was often content in where she was and where, because she knew that that's where God had her. So she is just an incredible testimony to missionaries, to women, I think to believers, to know that your life doesn't have to start out easy. She had a very hard beginning of childhood and adolescence. A lot of times God allows bad things to happen because this is the world we live in. We live in the world, but not of the world. So she was sick very often, but it's our choice as believers. Are we going to trust God in that and do his will? Or are we going to go our own way and do our own thing, which she could have easily done? And no one would have batted an eyeball. But because she didn't, because she honored God and because she chose to follow him, we get to talk about her today and see her as a woman who followed after God's own heart. And it was actually in 1915 that she passed away in the country of Calabar. And her very last photo, which I love selfies, so I think that's very important. Her very last photo was actually with a lot of the children that she had raised. And actually quite a few of those twins grew up to be pastors, grew up to be political figures, and grew up to be teachers, and continued just that legacy of faith, actually, as missionaries where God had had them. So she is actually truly one of my favorite missionaries to chat about.
Yeah, that was not that long ago. Yeah, yep. Her legacy is still walking on the planet.
And modern-day Nigeria, Calabar is now a big city in modern-day Nigeria. And the practice of killing twins was abolished. So she truly did make a real impact.
What I also like is that God used her ability and also just who she was. Because, yeah, rough start. She was also mischievous, impulsive, strong-willed. Mm-hmm. And she worked in a factory and was able to beat down any boy that would pick a fight with her.
She was in a very bad side of Scotland, and she had a kids' club. And she was walking around, and this gang walked up to her, and she stood there. And this kid started swinging this metal pipe on a piece of string closer and closer to her face. And he said, I don't know why you're in this part of town, but you need to leave. And she stood her ground, stared him in the eyes, even to the point where that piece of metal pipe scraped her face. She did not flinch. The boy, like, dropped the metal pipe, stared at her. The guys were in awe. And they said, wow, you are very confident. You can go wherever you want. And instead of just leaving it there, she said, I want you to come to my club. I want you to come to this club that teaches about the gospel. The next week, sure enough, the boys ended up coming, and quite a few of them actually ended up believing in God as our Savior. And I do believe that a lot of times God's training looks like waiting, but it really is God's training.
Maybe that's a place that our listeners are in right now. You're just doing your everyday normal, being who you are. And yeah, it might look every day, but it is work for the kingdom that has value and worth. Well, my pick is Amy Carmichael. And she, again, is a Scottish gal, but she was raised in Ireland initially, was born into a Irish family. And she was a little bit more higher class. You know, they had some money. But she was born with brown eyes. But she wanted blue eyes. And so she would pray constantly, please, God, give me blue eyes. But he never answered that prayer. And there would be a reason why. Because down the pike, she would need those brown eyes. And so she, just like Mary Slessor, faithful to the Lord, right where she was. She was reaching out and being a part of these little women called shawlies, because that's what they would wear. They didn't have coats. They would just wear a shawl. But she would minister to them. She was, again, poor health, you know, but yet God used her. She wanted to go to the China Inland Mission, but they rejected her because of her health. And so she ended up going to India and working there. She came across a situation where the temples there, the parents would sell their children to the local temple.
Yeah.
And then that child would be raised, in essence, to become a temple prostitute. And this happened a lot with the little girls, and that just broke her heart. And so she decided that that's where her focus would be, is to rescue these children and raise them for the Lord. She would found something called a Dohnavur Fellowship, which is still in operation today. And one way that she would get into these temples is that she would dress herself in the local garb and put some coloring on her face. And she was able to walk around undetected as an English woman because she had brown
eyes.
She had brown eyes.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah. And so she was able to go in, rescue these kids, see what was going on, and be able to build that community. She was a hard worker. And now, because of her work with rescuing temple children, she lived in constant spiritual and physical danger. They did not want her to be there. And yet, that was her hope and her heart, and she continued. She never asked for money. But just like George Mueller and Mary Slessor and the rest of them, just relied upon faith giving, and that kept her there. Something interesting also ended up, I think when she was around in her 60s, she fell, and she also had arthritis. And for 20 years, she was bedridden.
That's right.
Yeah, pretty much 20 years. She used that time to write. That's when most of her writing was done. And then she also was busy training the next generation to take over her work, and that's why it's still in operation today, because she was a good administrator, and she was able to impart into the lives and hearts of those who would come after her. She ended up passing when she was, I think, 82. So she lived, you know, into her 80s again. Not a strong woman, and yet God used her weakness for his glory. She wrote a lot of really great poems. So this is Amy's poem, Hast Thou No Scar? Hast thou no scar? No hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? Hast thou no wound? Yet I was wounded by the archers spent, leaned me against a tree to die and rent. By ravening beast that compassed me, I swooned. Hast thou no wound? No wound? No scar? Yet as the master shall the servant be, and pierced are the feet that follow me. But thine are whole. Can he have followed far, who hast no wound or scar? I think there was always kind of a tone that she was calling out the church in some of her poems. And I think she was calling them to a life that was introspected and to say, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I sacrificing myself for your kingdom and your glory at whatever place I'm at? Now, she would give the story of how they had all these children, all these kids that they had to take care of. And every now and then a visiting minister would come in and very officious. And there they were just ministering. And then it would be Sunday and he would pick up his Bible and go marching off and to do his thing or just to go to church. And she would always be kind of like, wait a minute, this is the ministry. We're right here. You know, let's just not think that it's out there, but let's be faithful where we are in the daily need. Yeah. So I think her heart was for the church to rally and to just to say, I think we need to be faithful where we are. Here's another one. I love it. It's called Flame of God. From prayer that ask that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain free, thy soldier who would follow thee. From subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus our spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel. Flame of God. I love the story of Amy Carmichael. I just found her to be so inspiring on so many levels. Well, thanks so much, Rebecca, for hanging out with me today and sharing these stories from these great ladies of the past who did what they were called to do, even in the hardest of days. And
amen. Let us be the women of yesterday today.
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Coming up tomorrow, Mark sits down with Pastor Jason Schiffo. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Have a great day.